the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. This is your boy Doomsday 519. And of course, this is episode, who gives a shit? 190 something, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, of course, my co-host, my tag team partner in this journey of ours is the man hailing from the West Side Goth.
Yay, yay. Trying to get through the last major work week of the Christmas rush.
Man, your shit's a rush. My shit is just fucking boring. I'm just been sitting. I've been playing Legend of Zelda for a week straight in my cubicle, doing that's it. And basically, yeah, I'd be jumping around from floor to floor, but when I get back to my desk, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, my team for the holidays is basically doing the job of a larger team. But we've been we've been angry here and there, but we've been mostly chill about it because we've accepted that they just didn't, some of the higher-ups just didn't bother to hire people, or the people we tried to hire were just not cut out for the work.
Yeah.
So, but, like, I'm actually going to come in an hour earlier the next two nights, which means I've got to be up by, like, after midnight. But it's like, well, fuck it, it's just the last 2 days before Christmas. It doesn't matter anymore.
I am trying to make it through the work week and just chill out. But what I want to do is try to see The Shape of Water. That's what I want to see. So
yeah, I've been waiting for it to get wide release.
It's wide release Friday.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
my grandma likes to take me and my brother out for movies for our birthday, and I told her I'll look at that one, see when it comes out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if you want to get technical, yeah, it actually starts Thursday night is the wide release officially, or whatever. So, me, as soon as I'm clocking out, I'm headed straight to the fucking theater. Well, actually, of course, I gotta drop off my dry cleaning, then I'm going to the theater. But, yeah, that's the last movie I'm looking forward to for the year.
No, when I get out on fucking Thursday, I'm gonna get my check cashed, come home, sleep, and do fucking laundry and clean my room because got family visiting in a few days after that. A lot of family's gonna be over here for like Christmas Eve and Christmas, I believe.
I think my direct deposit should kick in by now because it's been.
Well, I get direct deposit too, but I always pull money out that day.
Yeah,
I like to have cash on me. I don't trust the banks that much.
I pull the highest amount I pull these days is like $40, but I don't pull much because like my checks usually come out to be like to like $800 something or whatever. So like I only pull 40, so that's about what 5% of the check. I don't know. I'm terrible at math, but. Yeah, I only pull a small fraction of my money out of the bank.
I pull like half, I guess, you know, but... Yeah. All right, so we have wrestling, and we decide we're going to start with the results from Clash of the Champions. So are we ready for this?
Let's get it right here.
It's a SmackDown brand WWE pay-per-view. It was from the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. All right, so we got the pre-show match. Did you catch the pre-show match?
Yes, I did.
Mojo Rawley defeated Zack Ryder in under 7 minutes. It was okay, I guess.
It was pretty decent. It was the best Mojo match you'll see.
I don't remember the last time I've seen him in a singles match, so that was.
Because he had a few earlier in the year after the whole Andre the Giant win.
Like, yeah.
But after that, he ended up tagging with Zach again.
I thought the video package for it was pretty good.
Yeah, the video package for it was good, but and then the two promos before that was also good. Because, like, yeah, and that's one thing WWE loves to drop the ball on. When they decide to put a feud on anybody, they don't make anything as important as it should be. Like, I remember back in the day, like, minor feuds would get a good build and all that shit like that. And they would still seem sort of important, you know? But yeah. Now it's just like a lot of these feuds, undercard feuds, just throwaways for the most part, you know?
Yeah, they do the top down booking, except they kind of stop when they get to the mid card stuff.
Exactly. They forget about the undercard, man. Like,
and it's really even more bothersome because, like, New Japan was able to put together a quick feud between, like, Yujiro and Trent Beretta over the course of a tour.
Right.
Where Yujiro kept mocking Trent from his, changing from junior to heavyweight. Then they added a singles match at the show, and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Because the people who were following it on the stuff saw it build. You know, right. They had Yujiro cut promos. They had Trent respond, and they put in a match. I mean, it's not brain surgery. I mean, it's not that hard.
It really
is. Just a little bit of time, especially if you've got all this time in a fucking website. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you, WWE?
Yeah. Because they just tossed in, like, fucking, like, tweet, like, two tweets about the fucking feud, and that was basically it before we got to the day of.
Yeah. It was an okay match, and WWE didn't give it the time it probably deserved.
Yeah.
Alright, so, main show, we have, in 12 minutes and 45 seconds, a new United States champion as Dolph Ziggler defeated Baron Corbin, the champion, and Bobby Roode, the other challenger. A bit of a surprise. Crowd was really into this match. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was a good match.
Yeah. I gotta admit, though, I was only half-paying attention for a few of the matches, but what I saw, I liked. I thought the finish came off really well.
Yeah, the finish was great. I definitely felt the finish.
I think this was the best I've seen Dolph and Baron Corbin in the ring together, because there was that really annoying multi-month feud last year between them.
Yeah.
It just got worse and worse as it went.
So, yeah, I remember that shit.
Proving that too many rematches can burn out. But yeah, it's a good match. Crowd got the crowd really into gear. And then we got the really weird fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship, where, let's be perfectly honest, Rusev Day was what people wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that 12 Days of Rusev by Aiden English was beautiful. And I love that the crowd wanted him to do an encore.
Yeah.
But this match, despite the fact they had four people in the ring at the same time, like, they forgot how to do it with just two people.
Yeah.
I mean, that was annoying, but when the match just sort of broke down and everybody was just hitting cool shit, fucking beautiful. Chad Gable with the suplexes.
Yes.
I like that Aiden English is doing that fireman's carry spinebuster.
Spinebuster, yeah. Vicious. Yeah.
I mean, the New Day was on point. Rusev Day was on point. It was a good match all the way around, and the Usos retained. And, of course, and the Usos came out styling. They look like they were ready to drop their album.
Yeah, promo that's right.
Art, right?
Yeah.
That was a very good match. And then we got a not so good match because Lumberjack matches are generally bad.
Yep.
As Charlotte Flair successfully defended the title against Natalya in 10 minutes and 32 seconds. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was okay. It just, fucking hate Lumberjack matches.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Man. It wasn't good. I don't know. Then the promo after with Natalya.
Well, I thought that was actually the only really memorable thing that happened.
Yeah, it was memorable. I don't know what to think of it, to be honest.
Oh, maybe she takes a break for a while, and then she comes back later. That's the only thing I could think of. And then we got the Bludgeon Brothers defeating Breezango in 2 minutes, like WWE forgets that we used to watch Harper Rowan tag team all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Breezango deserved better. I mean, I like the idea of the Bludgeon Brothers, but I don't know. I didn't care.
That's cool that they squash like local jobbers and shit, because I remember they killed Colin Delaney and shit like the week before, but like, I don't know. Them doing Breezango like that was not okay.
No. No, it wasn't. And then another match that just got ruined because of fucking overbooking. We had that stupid Owens and Zayn versus Orton and Nakamura match. If Owens and Zayn lose, they would be fired. And then Shane and Daniel Bryan, the guest referees, in at the same time. This overbooked piece of shit. If this was a straight-up regular-ass tag match with no special guest referees, it might have turned out pretty well, because you have Owens, Zayn, Nakamura, and, well, in Orton at least somewhat tries on pay-per-views, so it would have been okay overall, but they didn't do that shit. They just put together a long, drowned-out match to get to the ending. You essentially knew what was going to happen. They weren't going to fire Owens and Zayn. You knew Shane McMahon didn't want to fully pin, you know, count the pin for those guys. It was just like hitting the checkmark predictability thing, and it was like, well, that's it, I'm done, fuck this.
I'm gonna give WWE the benefit of the doubt and consider that they wanted it to be somewhat of a clusterfuck. I don't know, that's just me. I just felt like that's what they meant it to be. Like, it was meant to be bad because of the dual referee thing and all that. Because, like, yeah, like, Shane, like, earlier in the night, Shane was asking, oh, is one of us going to be inside the ring and one of us going to be out? And then Daniel was like, no, both of us are going to be in. Like, you knew it was going to turn out, like, fucked up.
So going
in, I wasn't expecting that shit to be like a fucking like 4-star classic.
Well, I think I had low expectations and it didn't even exceed them. I think that was my problem. I mean, I thought there were parts of it that were okay. I think if the match was shorter, I probably wouldn't have had as much problem. But at 21 minutes and 37 seconds, it just felt, you know. Yeah, I think it was probably just too long for what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think we all knew that there was going to be conflict between McMahon and Bryan, and I don't know, they just didn't know how to pad it out. It just seemed weird at times. I mean, it definitely wasn't, like, a horrible match. I just felt like it was it just kind of went where you knew it was going to go, so there was nothing really special about it. And then after that, I stopped watching, because I didn't even care about AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal, but he defeated him in 23 minutes by submission. Did you watch the match?
It was actually a pretty good match.
Okay.
One of the better Jinder matches.
All right, that's good. I mean, I would hope so with AJ Styles. I don't like Jinder, and I just wasn't really feeling how the pay-per-view was going. And then, you know, I pretty much had to go to sleep, like, right afterwards to go to work, so I was like, yeah, I'll take this extra 30 minutes to do something else. But yeah, alright. That was the pay-per-view. If anyone cares, the Lumberjacks for the match, for the women's match, were Carmella, Lana, Naomi, Tamina, and the entire Riot squad of Ruby Riot, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan. So that was Clash of Champions. Not a high note to end the year on for WWE, but usually they don't. What matters is the Royal Rumble. Do you want to just go over SmackDown and Raw real quick then?
Yeah, I'll just talk about some minor points or whatever. Jason Jordan was being a bitch, as usual.
I like his character.
I like the character makes sense to me. But yeah, so now he's sticking his nose into the Samoa Joe and Shield and Core and Bar and all the other fucking situation or whatnot, and they ended up having a tag match between Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Jason Jordan versus Samoa Joe and the Bar. And Dean Ambrose appeared to actually he got injured during the match Seth jumped to outside the ring into a pile of bodies and shit like that. But I guess it seemed that Dean had already tore his shit beforehand because he was wearing that sleeve before the match even started.
The compression sleeve?
Yeah, the compression sleeve type deal. So a lot of people saying that it looks like he may have some like tendon surgery.
Yeah, I think Dave Meltzer confirmed it. Yeah. So he's probably out. Yeah, okay, here we go. There's a WWE update on it. An MRI has shown suspicion of a high-grade triceps tendon injury. Is undergoing surgical exploration and most likely surgical repair for the torn triceps tendon.
Yeah.
All right, and then, oh, there's two of these. The first one was from yesterday. This one's from an hour ago. He went undergo successful surgery Tuesday night to repair it.
Wow.
So hopefully his recovery will be maybe temporary. I'm not a big Dean Ambrose fan, but I don't like it when any wrestler gets injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tag team with him and Rollins has been pretty good, even if they need new competition.
Yeah. And besides that, they announced that there would be a triple threat for the WWE Universal title between Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Kane. So...
Doesn't that sound like a great match?
Right. But nobody...
I think what bothers me about this is for a while, I guess they were going to build to Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, which would have been at least interesting.
Yeah. Apparently this... But it's... Royal Rumble, people are here. They're there for the actual Royal Rumble match, so no one really gives a fuck too much about the title matches that go down.
I don't know, because they've had some great title matches at Royal Rumble. One of my favorite Brock Lesnar matches was him, Seth Rollins, and Cena at a Royal Rumble.
Oh, right. I remember that one.
Or, going back even further, the Bret Hart Razor Ramon match at the Royal Rumble that Yokozuna won.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I know the Rumble itself is the primary attraction, and generally it is for me too, but they still used to at least put in some really important matches on there, you know, standout title matches. I don't think this one has it, but you know, whatever. And we're getting a women's rumble, so I guess that's what matters.
Right.
And I'm happy with that.
Yeah, since you talked about the women's rumble, might as well talk about that now. Yeah, so Stephanie during Raw actually announced that the women's rumble will be a thing after there was a tag team match that went awry at the main event for Raw. So, yeah, so people are trying to figure out who's going to be in that shit. So, what else happened on Raw? I think Hideo Itami had helped out Finn Balor on Raw defeat the Miz Taraj. And, yeah, that was about as much as I could remember or care about. SmackDown happened, and there was some strife between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. Basically, Daniel Bryan alluded to him actually being more like his father and sister than he claims he is not. So, everything went awry with Dolph Ziggler. He came out and told everybody that they told him so. It shouldn't be surprised that he was a champion, blah, blah, blah. Gave his whole spiel, but then he ended up placing the United States title on the mat and walking away. So it looks like he has relinquished the U.S. title, and he might be fucking gone. Well, storyline. I don't know how that storyline's gonna go, but yeah, that's about where it is right now. Naomi, after Charlotte gave her whole spiel about women's wrestling and all that, Naomi came out and talked about how she would be SmackDown's first entrant into the Royal Rumble.
I don't know why people want to be the first entry in the Royal Rumble for anything. The only good thing about being the first and second is that you possibly get a little bit more time for exposure.
Well,
and if you run longer, good, but you're more likely to lose. Well, not more likely to lose.
Well, so. I think she meant first entrant as in, yes, I'm the first one to put my hat in that I'm going to be in the match.
Oh.
Not number one.
All the women who were active were going to be in it anyway, so I never understood that either.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, unless you're like, I guess with the men, there's a much more limited spot.
Right.
But does Raw and SmackDown have a combined 30 or 20 women?
Oh, let me see. Okay. Oh, there's 6 plus 1, 2, 3. 11, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, there's probably at least 25 women
on the main roster. Oh, that's good.
Say. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a couple surprises in there, too.
Yeah.
If they wanted to really surprise people with the first entry, it should be somebody making their return. Have Molly Holly show up and said, I'm in. I've been like, holy shit.
Yeah, it could be Molly Holly. It could be Karma. Shit, it could be anybody. Shit, Trisha's teased it. Shit, Lita probably wants in. Or I don't know who else wants in. But that'll be
Paige's mom in too, and have her help Paige win.
All right, and then
Paige's mom is crazy.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, she's crazy. She's still wrestling.
She's still.
She's a wrestling grandma.
Yeah. And then who else? And then even Cyborg from the UFC is still trying to plead with WWE to let her in.
Yeah. Well, I think Cody Rhodes. Did you see? I think Cody Rhodes went at one MMA guy was trying to talk shit.
Yeah, that shit.
He was like, "Can you guys be calling Vince McMahon for a job when shit goes south?"
Yeah, that's true though, because it didn't like, but Daniel Cormier tried to like brush it off, like, "Oh no, I won't be looking for a job, bitch." Come on, like. He's alluded to himself being a wrestling fan before. So, yeah. Like, why wouldn't he want a job with the WWE? Come on. Let's be real. Let's be fucking real.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that whole Young Bucks clip with the drop kicks and all that stuff. My take on it, everybody has their own cup of tea. In wrestling, that type of stuff is not really mine, but it has its place. I'm not gonna knock people about it. It's whatever. It's performance art. They're doing whatever.
Yeah, and these people act like fucking high flying is fucking new.
Yeah,
this shit's been around for a while. You're just mad that the high flyers got more ridiculous. I mean.
And the thing is that people have been doing that specific type of spot for decades, just not as like over the top.
Yeah, I mean the Young Bucks have the whole thing about trying to one up other people, and I understand that. I didn't watch the clip either, but I was reading about it. Like, this sounds fucking. The people complain about this shit is fucking stupid. Get on the WWE Network and find yourself an old wrestling show, for God's sakes, if you're that fucking pissed off.
Right.
I mean, there's. If you want to. Hell, if you just want to see guys suplex each other and powerbomb each other, there's the All Japan archive on there. Get some, like, 90s fucking Misawa and Kawada trying to kill themselves. You don't have to watch today's wrestling, there's other older wrestling. People need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That, what else happened on SmackDown that I care about? Nothing really. There was a Rusev, the Rusev Day crew versus New Day in.
I saw the gifts for that. It was beautiful.
Their holiday get-ups and stuff. That was a lot of pancakes and whipped cream and really freaky stuff going on. Really, really homoerotic. I saw Xavier Lick wipe some whipped cream off of Aiden English's face and put it in his mouth. It was very sensual. Very, very.
Gotta give it to the people out there who look for sexual stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Know your audience. Give them a little something that they can tell their friends about. Get yourself a gay off. They will pay.
Yeah. I think the main event had a tag team match that, or was it a singles? I don't fucking know. I think it involved Randy Orton, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think it was a 6-man match. I just look at GIFs and I go, I mean, cause, you know, the GIFs pretty much tell me everything I need to know. I'll be like, oh, that looked like that was a pretty good match.
All it looks like I would have liked this. All I know is that Shinsuke won it for his team, so that's about it. And, yeah, that's SmackDown.
All right. So, before we get to news, let's do some cards of the weekend. Or cards for the last week, because this is going to be our last show until next year. So, first off, there is going to be a PWG show. I believe it's the last weekend, or the first weekend of January. It's Mystery Vortex, so no announcements as to who is involved. Because that's what Mystery Vortex's gimmick is. I imagine we might be getting some debuts and maybe some returns. Hopefully. God, I fucking hate AAW's website. It's like, come on. You motherfuckers can't get this shit to work well. It keeps freaking freezing on me. And I had the card up, but for some reason, when I would went back to the browser, it took the card down. All right, because they have their Windy City Classic on the 30th. Okay, so I guess the 30th is the last, is next Friday. All right. Here we go. So, the matches that have been confirmed are as follows. Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier versus... Shane Strickland and Keith Lee. Sean Waltman teaming up with Paco versus Connor Braxton and Jake Something. Matt Riddle versus ACH. I believe this is a rematch. OI4K versus Marin Reed, Stephen Wolf, and Trey Miguel. Then we got the Bourbon Street Fight between Eddie Kingston and David Starr. And the heavyweight title match with Rey Fénix defending against Jeff Cobb, who is taking over for Michael Elgin, because Cobb took like 2 or 3 of his bookings after all that stuff went down. Elgin technically won the tournament to get this title shot, but I expect Elgin to be back in AAW at least by February, because, you know, I think he's driving Naito around to most of the shows. So that's that. Also on the show will be the Heritage Champion Zema Ion. There's the tag team champions, Davey Vega, Matt Fitchett. Penta will be on the show, AR Fox, Joey Janela, and Kurt Stallion. So they're also, several of these guys are all guys trained by Elgin, Kurt Stallion, Jake Something, Paco, Marin Reed. I'm not sure, but maybe Stephen Wolf and Connor Braxton too. I could be wrong about that. So, technically, Elgin is still filling a lot of the Midwest with professional guys. All right, so that's that. We got a couple New Japan things. We're going to, first off, Lionsgate Project 10, which I bring this up because it is the end of the Kotetsu Yamamoto Memorial 11th Young Lions Cup Tournament. It's been the round robin tournament. So here's the stats right now. Katsuyo Kitamaru is currently 4-0. Tomoyuki Oka is 3-0, and Hirai Kawato are 3-1. Those are the three odds-on favorites basically the three top, sort of the three top young lions recently. We got Seota Umino, who's the son of Red Shoes, the referee. He's actually 2-2. And then the other two guys, Tetsuhiro Yagi and Rin Narita, are both 0-4. Hinare just came back, so he wasn't put into the tournament. But Hinare, I should say, has actually been pretty featured recently. He's been because he did was in the tag team tournament. He's looking pretty good. But here are the the last of the matches. So we got the two 0-4 guys wrestling, Tetsuhiro Yagi and Rin Narita. One of these guys got shaved bald by Suzuki recently, so I don't know which one was. It might be Yagi, but I do know that I believe it's Yagi who does a little bit more submission-based wrestling than the other guys. He's a little bit more... I mean, they're both lanky, but one of them I think is a little taller. So they're just going to be fighting to see who's not the on the bottom of the list. Then Kawato is taking on Umino. He can only win if Kitamura wins his match. So, but if Umino beats Kawato, he'll end up tying for, like, in the middle of the stack. So I actually think Umino will probably win. And then you have Oka and Kitamura. If Oka beats Kitamura and Kawato loses, Oka will win it. If Kitamura wins, it means he went 5-0 through the tournament. So it's really going to come down to that match. There's three other matches on here. Dinosaur Takuma, who I haven't watched, and Tenzan taking on Kotaro Yoshino, who I don't know, and Manabu Nakanishi. We got Kojima taking on a guy named Daisuke Kanahiro, and Yuji Nagata taking on Yuma Aoyagi, who I mentioned, I think last week, was one of the top kind of rookies. He's only been wrestling for a few years. He's an All-Japan guy. So that's Lionsgate Project. And before I get to the Wrestle Kingdom card, I just want to say I've been trying to catch up on some Joshi wrestling. So I watched some Sendai Girls, some really good shit there. So check that out if you could find it. It's a great match between Meiko Satomura and Chihiro Hashimoto. I really should watch a little bit more of this one girl, Hana Kimura. She's really cute. I like her. Her outfit makes her look like, because she has a giant bow on her back, so she looks kind of like a present. But she's a really good wrestler, too. So I think she's also worked Stardom, so keep your eyes out on her. I think she's really getting over with in the Joshi scene. And apparently Joshi's, well, they've been doing really good. A lot of the companies have been getting like 1,000 people show up for the big show, so that's really impressive. All right, so here we go. Because we're taking next week off, and our show actually posts on Thursday, we can't do this promo preview any later. So this is New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 12 Tokyo Dome. You ready, man?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, so we got the pre-show Rumble, which is just going to be a bunch of guys who aren't on the card, a bunch of old veterans. Cheeseburger will probably show up because he's been in the last two. So, yeah, there's that. I'm just going to take a random guess and say Yoshihashi wins, but who knows? Because he's not on the full the main card. So, now let's get to the main card. The opening match will be the IWGP Junior Tag Team Title Match. As the champions and the winners of this year's Best of the Super Junior Tag Tournament, Roppongi 3K, Yo, and Sho, with probably Rocky Romero in their corner, taking on the challengers of the Young Bucks. So I think Yo and Sho will win. I think they just also won favorite tag team in some one of the various wrestling mags in Japan. So, you know. Plus, it's been a while since there's been a successful native tag team in the junior division for New Japan. But I expect this match to be good. You got any thoughts?
Not really. No.
Anybody, who do you think is going to win, Young Bucks or Roppongi 3K?
3K.
3K, all right. All right, and recently announced, we have another never openweight six-man tag team gauntlet. However, because LIJ actually just lost the trios titles to Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Bad Luck Fale. Which also means Bushi could be in the opening Rumble and possibly win it himself, but we'll find that out later because we don't know who's actually going to be in it. But here is the rundown of the gauntlet. So you have the champions, the Tongans, minus Leo Tonga and honorary Tongan Chase Owens. So the Tongans of the Bullet Club. Oh, and Tama Tonga had an interesting tweet sometime earlier today. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
He said something about September 2018, the family's reunited. So I don't know what that means, but I don't know. Maybe he's talking about other members of the Bullet Club.
Hmm.
So we'll see. But here are the challengers. We have Taguchi Japan as Ryusuke Taguchi leads Juice Robinson and Togi Makabe. We have Chaos Team of Ishii, Yano, and Beretta. We got the Suzuki Goon Tag Team of Taichi, Takashi Iizuka, and Zack Sabre Jr. getting that New Japan money for the one-off. Well, for, you know, showing up for the first time in a few months, you know, for this crappy-ass match. And the We Fucking Hate Michael Elgin, Why Are We Teaming Up With Him? Team of War Machine and Michael Elgin.
Oh, God.
Yeah, professional. I should call them Team Professionalism.
Professionalism?
Yeah, because they clearly don't want to team with each other. All right, that is your second match. And then we get the special singles match because guess who lost their Ring of Honor world title?
Cody.
Yep, lost it to Dalton Castle.
Shout out to Dalton Castle.
Yes.
Who would have thought it?
Thank you. Thank you, Dalton. But Cody will be taking on Kota Ibushi in a special singles match. Brandi Rhodes might actually be there, too. So it'll be Brandi Rhodes' first trip over. Good on her. She's really knocking the valet thing off. She's been working on her wrestling. She's been very vocal in defending wrestling. And she's got her TV show happening sometime soon. So
yeah, I think WAG started already.
All right.
Yeah, I think she may be in the Women of Honor tournament. You know, she there's is. A Women of Honor title.
Yep. Yeah. She's going to be... I think she actually advanced already.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the first round. Yeah. What's her name? Mayu Iwatani. I had to look it up. But the one of the top Stardom women is in the tournament, too. So.
Yeah. And speaking of defending wrestling... apparently, because they have, Complex has a show called Out of Bounds on YouTube, and, the hosts are frickin', Gilbert Arenas and, Mia Khalifa, and, of course it's a sports commentary show, whatever, but the person to defend the wrestling of all people who is on the show was fucking Eva Marie.
I'm surprised she even... Yeah, that is a surprise.
Yeah. But, to be honest, it makes sense. Because she can attest to how hard it actually is.
Yeah.
To actually make it. Like, you know?
Yeah, a lot of... Despite how many people and how many athletes legitimately talk about how hard wrestling is, there's still people who don't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you had, like... What was his name? Was it Lawrence Taylor who wrestled Bam Bam Bigelow?
Right.
When you have him straight up tell you that it's one of the hardest things you can do and people still want to ignore it, you just know that people are full of shit.
They just want to be assholes about it.
Yeah. We forgot to book it. I think the champions will survive the gauntlet match. What do you think about that one? You think they're going to take the titles off of Tonga, Loa, and Fale already?
I don't think so.
All right. And, I don't really know about the Kota versus Cody match. I wouldn't be surprised if Kota Ibushi won.
Yeah, I still got Ibushi. I got Ibushi. Yeah. Like death rights. I don't know about Cody.
Yeah. I think it might be a pretty good match. They did a pretty good sell during the one tag team match where he hit Kota with the really nasty looking crossroads on the apron. So yeah. All right, then we got the fourth matchup is the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship as the champions, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. And Davey Boy was dragged a little on Twitter when the people saw some of his post-match comments about best friends calling them homosexuals. Come on,
he's a Davey fucking Boy. Ass. He just makes a whole bunch of dumb comments about everything these days. I, I just ignore whatever is going on with him. Like, I don't even follow that dude.
Yeah, I mean, props for saving that one girl from suicide, but it doesn't change it. Man, you say some dumbass fucking shit.
Fucking dumbass.
They will be taking on the challengers in the winner of the World Tag League 2017, Sonata, and the King of Darkness. Well, I love that they put his fucking nickname right in front of his name for Evil. They don't even do that shit on this on New Japan's American website for fucking Okada.
Right.
But for Evil, it's always King of Darkness.
King of Darkness, Evil.
Yeah, so LIJ, challenging for the titles. Part of me thinks KES will win because they're the foreign tag team and they like to, for some reason, keep the titles on foreigners. But I really want LIJ to win. I mean, it's not as very good and Evil is hot. There was the New Japan vote for top matches in MVP and all that. And of the five matches with the most votes, Evil versus Okada at the G1 Climax was number 5. So, and all the other matches were like Okada, Omega, and one with Naito. So basically, Evil was the only of the one of the few of the not top 4 or 5 guys to break that top match list. So they're really high on him. And in there, because New Japan has a sort of a recap, like it's a 7-minute recap for the year.
Yeah,
it doesn't show everything they need to show, but they make sure to include Evil beating Okada at the G1 Climax. They don't put Okada versus Omega from the G1 Climax on there, but they put Evil beating Okada on it. So that says a lot about what they think of him. So yeah, what do you think, LIJ or KES?
Yeah, I got KES.
All right. And then we got a very interesting Never Open Weight Championship match, because not only is it a title match, not only is Suzuki-gun banned from the ringside, but it's also a hair-for-hair match.
Oh,
as
really?
Minoru Suzuki defends against Hiroki Goto.
Oh, my God.
Do you think they shaved Goto's head?
Oh, fuck no. Hold on.
Goto has some great hair.
Yeah. The thing is that they, like, Goto has great hair, and then Suzuki has a great hairstyle.
Yes.
So, that's rough. It's fucking rough. Usually, when you have these hair versus hair match guys, like, usually one guy has, like, decent hair, and one guy has luxurious hair, but this is, like, a fucking toss-up.
Yeah. And speaking of hair matches, I heard that the only reason that Molly Holly did the hair match is because they didn't want to put that women's title match on that pay-per-view.
Oh, really? Jesus.
Yeah, Molly Holly actually pushed for it, and that's why they had the hair match, and that's why she got shaved.
Wow.
Like, Molly, like, I don't know if that's just a rumor, but if that's true, that is some fucking commitment, and props to Molly Holly.
That's some gangster shit right there.
Yeah.
So,
it would be interesting if Goto got his head shaved, but I don't want him to have his head shaved. I also don't want Suzuki to be the champion anymore, to be honest with you. So I'm going with Goto to win.
Yeah, I got Goto winning.
All right. So we're coming into the last 4 matches. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship 4-way match. We have the champion, the 79th champion. I love how they tend to put the number of how many champions they are. So if anyone cares, straight up, Roppongi 3K is the 54th Junior Tag Championship. The Tongans are the 14th of the Never Openweight Champions. The KS is the 78th Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, and Minoru Suzuki is the 16th Never Openweight Champion. But in the Junior Heavyweight Division, Marty Scurll is the 79th champion, and he's defended the title against former champions Will Ospreay, Kushida, and Takahashi. And this is how this goes. Takahashi defeated Kushida to win the first title, and then Kushida defeated Takahashi to win it back. Kushida lost to Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay lost in his first title defense against Marty Scurll. This is a difficult one. I don't think Scurll keeps the title because he's not touring that much with New Japan. And the only reason he has this title is a reason to have this 4-way match. Ospreay is finishing up with Ring of Honor from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And he's been touring a lot with New Japan. Obviously, Kushida and Takahashi are New Japan regulars, too.
Osprey, so, I think Osprey's supposed to appear in CZW soon.
Yeah, yeah. He's also going to be doing the WWN live stuff when the paper, when WrestleMania hits. So, yeah, I would put it back on Will Ospreay, even though he's kind of an asshole on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I would either give it to Ospreay or Takahashi. I'm leaning Ospreay, so that way we can get a clear Ospreay versus Takahashi 1-on-1 match at New Beginnings, maybe. So, yeah, Will Ospreay to win.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I got Ospreay.
All right. And then, not being the match coming on before the main event, is the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match with the 16th champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi, with his new hairdo. Have you seen his new hairdo?
Oh, with the fucking, like, curls and shit.
Yes.
The waves.
Yeah. Some people have been calling him Midlife Crisis Hiroshi Tanahashi. Defending against Jay White. Now, this was a little tough because, I mean, in this big spot, we kind of expect Jay White to go over, but I don't know, it is fucking Tanahashi. So, and Tanahashi lost last year's Wrestle Kingdom match and the year before. So, is he going 3 losses for the last 3 Wrestle Kingdoms? Tough. So, I kind of have Tanahashi going over Jay White.
Nope. I got Jay White.
Jay White. All right. And then, in our, I guess they're calling this a double main event because this is the international main event, which to me is bullshit, but whatever. In New Japan, the main event is the last match on the show. Fuck you. We have the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship in a no disqualification match. As the first champion, Kenny Omega, who I think is an excellent wrestler, but I'm getting tired of his fucking defenders, taking on Chris Jericho, a legend who sometimes also annoys the shit at me, and I getting tired of his defenders, too.
Yeah.
So basically, two wrestlers I respect and have had great matches, who I'm also sort of tired of, taking on each other in a no DQ match. Does Omega retain successfully? Does Jericho win the title and stick around? I got Omega to successfully defend, personally.
Yeah, of course.
All right. And then in the main event, the biggest match in Japan right now, between a guy who's either been the number one or number two guy in the various wrestling awards and fan awards this year. He won top prize in, I think, J Sports Magazine. He won the MVP award 2 times in a row for the Tokyo Sports Awards. He actually was voted number 2 behind Kenny Omega in the New Japan vote. So, yeah, that's the challenger and G1 Climax winner, Tetsuya Naito, taking on the 65th heavyweight champion, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, who it pisses me off how fans have kind of neglected him. Like, he was a part of all those fucking 6-star matches, mm-hmm. Let's be honest. And he's also had several other really good matches this fucking year. His match with fucking Shibata was freaking brilliant. So yeah, this is the match. And Okada's been working on his reversal, to the Destino. What he does is he kind of stops the move midway, tosses the guy down, and puts him in the camel clutch. So, I'm sorry, the Cobra clutch. So that's his Destino reversal he's been doing lately. But Naito, I believe, got the best of them at their last tag team encounter. So, this is a big one. Does Okada successfully retain and keeps going on, which some people think he might? Or does Naito finally fucking eat Okada on the biggest stage ever? I kind of think Naito wins, but who knows with Okada, because Okada's been definitely bringing the attention, because people have been waiting for him to drop the title. So, yep, I got Naito to win. What do you think?
Naito. Naito all day.
All right. And then that's it for Wrestle Kingdom. And then the next night will be New Year's Dash, which is their follow-up. And New Year's Dash, they haven't, I guess, announced the card for the last 2 years, so I don't know if they would bother to announce it this year. But New Year's Dash usually does a bit of a setup for the next few months, which, I mean, does the setup basically for New Beginnings. And before New Beginnings, though, we're going to have the CMLL Fantastica Mania Tour there. So that's going to be pretty cool. I think they announced most of the people on it already. I don't know. In New Beginnings, they're going to be doing, I guess, two big shows in Sapporo first. Sapporo is one of the big markets that they rarely visit because it's a little bit out of their way. Then they're also going to hit Osaka as their final one. And we also will be having another Honor Rising shows in February. We'll talk all about that later. But that is pretty much that. So now we have news.
News. One piece of news, apparently, in January, there will be three new members of the WWE. Basically all of them we've been talking about for a good year now or so. But it's, of course, Ricochet, and War Machine, Hanson and, Rowe. So, yeah, they're saying that they're all start possibly reporting to in Florida in January.
Is this like really War Machine going? Because they've been rumored to go all of 2017. I mean, at the end of 2016, we thought that was it with the World Tag League appearance. And no?
Yeah. With War Machine, apparently they finished their commitments with Ring of Honor. They're done
with Ring of Honor. All right. Well, now Ring of Honor wasn't really using them all that well after they had them drop the title like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. And then New Japan, they say after Wrestle Kingdom, they're done with that too. So.
All right.
So now that's been teased for like forever.
So basically, if Jeff Cobb comes back, he's not going to be able to hang out with War Machine.
Yeah, basically. He'll be all by himself. Unless he hangs out with Juice.
I guess he'll get to hang out with David Finley and Juice Robinson.
Yeah, right. That's what, yeah. So, yeah, those guys. Yep. And what other news was there? A lot of dumb shit happened on the internet, of course. Jim Cornette started making some dumb comments about God knows whatever.
Tuesday. Got it.
Yeah, the same shit that everybody was like getting on about the I believe it was the Young Bucks doing their flips and shit. And one thing I do notice with Cornette fans, these old school douchebags, they always like love to complain so much about wrestling, and they slurp him up so much that like they literally look for trouble. They literally look for trouble. So they find this video, and instead of just to like make a snide comment, like whatever, these Jim Cornette fanboys actually fucking tag him in it.
Yeah, like, getting. It's so fucking pathetic. Actually, because of the Young Bucks response, there was a really great tweet someone posted. It's like, the believability argument kills me, because wrestling was fine when we had hulking up or a dead guy who would sometimes shoot lightning bolts or an elbow drop made lethal by theatrically removing the elbow pad and running across the ring before dropping it. All entertaining, though.
Right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, I mean, let's be honest, Cornette and a lot of these old school guys, they can't book today's wrestling. The independent audience doesn't really, a lot of eyes doesn't really care about this old school mentality, because the old school mentality, that's not them.
It's
the
fucking
new audience,
old, that's what it is. It's fucking yes. old, period.
You can't sell old shit to new people. You have to dress it up.
That's why I always compare wrestling to rap, because you're not gonna get that old feeling back. Period. You're not.
No.
You're not gonna get that old.
I mean, you can say the same thing about like comic books too. Shit, I've been watching a lot of old movies, and there's, I mean, I like the old movies, but you can't expect today's audience to like old movies because, I mean, they are dated in their various particular ways, especially like the way that old people talked back then and the way they accentuate. Plus, the lack of diversity and racism and homophobia also doesn't help. But still,
of course,
you can't. Things have changed, and you either adapt or die. And the internet is slowly dying.
Fucking A. Get over yourself, wrestling it, old wrestling fans or whatever.
You know, those guys. Like, come on, dude. I don't know. Yeah, fuck them. Anyway, in other news, during 205 Live, apparently during the tag team match, I believe it was Kalisto and Grand Metalik versus Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick, a fan threw a bottle of water at Kalisto's face while he was outside the ring.
I saw the clip of that. Fuck that dude.
Yo, what a piece of shit. But I think they eventually caught the dude. But, like, come on, dude. You can't be that fucking stupid.
I'm just going to assume he was a racist.
What a fucking idiot. Yeah. And most likely the dude's going to get arrested and banned from the arena. A whole bunch of dumb shit. And for what? Nothing. Fucking idiot. Oh, no. And speaking of bans, guess what city has banned combat sports altogether?
Wasn't that Edmonton or something?
Yeah, that's right. Fucking Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. They fucking banned combat sports for a year after their negligence in an MMA fighter dying.
Yeah.
And I say their negligence because apparently the dude had multiple fights where he got TKO'd and within a year, and normally when you get TKO'd or KO'd or whatever, you're supposed to have a certain amount of time before you can actually fight again. Like, they give you a big window to, like, recover and whatever, just to prevent you from fucking dying. And they didn't adhere to their own shit, so now they're banning themselves. And they're fucking everybody over. And including the WWE, who's not even a combat sport.
I think they are in the traditional sense, but I guess in any sort of physical, like, contact, anything counts as contact sports in there. Because someone actually posted it actually is listed under their definition of contact sports.
Combat sports? Really?
Jeez. Yeah, in under their athletic commission thing. Because, I mean, I know WWE's fought against athletic commissions from time to time, and most of them just sort of ignore WWE, but
right.
They, I guess for WWE to work in the country, they have to adhere to whatever the athletic commission is. So basically, this was the athletic commission doing a really terrible job.
Yeah,
that guy probably got fired, and someone else probably came in and is being sort of the reverse. The guy who wasn't paying attention dropped the ball, so they hired a guy who was
super cautious.
That's super cautious, and that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So I blame the former commissioner.
Yeah,
but all things are.
Speaking of other bad shit, Noam Dar, of course, he had a knee injury, and he's had surgery, so he's out. I don't know how long that's going to be. Usually, it's knee surgeries, you could take 6 to 9 months, maybe more, so he's going to be gone for a while. Hopefully, he has a speedy recovery.
Yep.
Yeah. And no, other news, first Santino and Carnett, now King Kong Bundy and Scott Hall. Apparently, King Kong Bundy and Scott Hall got into it at a convention because not only was Scott Hall late, he came to the convention and he was fucking intoxicated. He decided to get drunk, start harassing Bill Apter while he was doing an interview, and started fucking with King Kong Bundy, which is a big mistake because King Kong Bundy's a big dude who is, despite his weight, is probably more healthy than Scott Hall is.
Yeah, and Scott Hall is more healthy now than he used to be, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah. So, he put the paws on him, and they got into a little tiff or whatever. But, it's a damn shame that, like, that Scott Hall can't stay on the wagon, you know?
Yeah.
Damn shame. Speaking of people, like, that had issues that seem better. Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, he apparently...
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Apparently he appeared in bar wrestling. I believe it was a tag match. He was, I don't know if he was an enforcer or a referee. Yeah, he was a referee for the match. And I think it was the World's Cutest Tag Team versus, I don't know who, I think Hornswoggle and some other people were there, and I think Dick Justice was there too. Shit, how many? I don't know how many other guys, but
Dick Justice was there.
Yeah, he was doing all types of Home Alone-esque shenanigans during it. Even hit a splash from the top rope, or second rope. I don't know which one.
I'm just glad he looks okay, because sometimes you see him, he looks horrible.
Yeah, no, like no, the past like few months, he's been looking actually pretty healthy. Yeah, so like. Because, like, he had another, like, encounter with wrestlers, like, some months ago. I don't know if it was some... I think it was a WWE thing. But he took a whole bunch of pics, and he looked really healthy. But, yeah, there were some points where he looked like he was on his fucking deathbed. Because dude looked like a goddamn skeleton. Like,
yeah, he did not age well.
Yeah.
But at least he's looking
but
now.
I think... But think of him getting a little more weight on him and laying off the substances and shit has, like, filled him back up, you know?
Yeah.
Rejuvenated him a little bit. So, good on him.
I mean, it's been, like, ruled down because of the way his family kind of screwed up his money situation all those years ago is what really fucked him over.
Yeah, they fucked
him.
He's, like, he's the reverse Haley Joel Osment. Because, like... He got real drug-addled and skinny and gaunt, and, like, fucking Joel Osment just fucking ballooned. Shit.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment went from the cute kid... Well, a lot of them go from cute kids to not being at all cute, I guess. Yeah,
right.
Or, I guess, handsome or well-looking. I mean, like, Macaulay looks better now. I mean, Haley kept his face, but... His body just looked, I don't know, weird. And I don't want to say that to insult him. I'm just saying it's just weird watching children in entertainment, a place where there's so much emphasis on beauty,
right,
and body type, and watch them grow and they don't become the kind of celebrities you would expect them to be, because Hollywood has essentially warped your image of what all celebrities should be.
Right.
And even then, when you look at, like, some of the adult men who aren't necessarily the traditional handsome types, the, like, larger guys, most of the time those guys are comedians, or they have, like, a John Hamm type body where, you know, you put him in clothes and he still dresses really well.
Right.
And that's what they don't become that. Man, I feel bad for any kid growing up in Hollywood sometimes. Shit. Jeez. All that shit they have to deal with. Yeah. Beauty and predatory producers.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, fuck the... Was it the William Morris Agency? Terry Crews' old agency?
Oh, right. Them. Yeah, they fucked him. And
they're trying to get his ass blackballed from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
You got the crazy Quaid telling Crews to watch... giving him props, saying, you're doing a good job, but you know you gotta watch your back. These people are out to get you.
Yeah.
And Crazy Quaid probably knows that shit, because he looks crazy.
Oh, man. Quaid, yeah. What was it? Randy Quaid, right? Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, he grew a really ugly beard.
Yeah, Randy. Yeah, I think he's... Is he still in Canada?
He might be. Did he flee? He fled the country for some reason, right?
Yeah, because he fled the country with his wife or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he had some...
They're on some
weird shit. I don't know if it was some financial issues.
Prescription drug shit. I don't know. It was some weird stuff. Anyway, back to talking about wrestling shit.
Hold on. Is Randy's full name Randy Randall Rudy Quaid? Is that his full fucking name?
Is it really?
That's what this shit... Yeah! His name's Randy Randall Rudy Quaid. His parents were assholes.
Yeah. I don't know.
And he's apparently 6'4", 6'5". He could have been a wrestler.
Oh, yeah, he's a tall dude.
Yeah, alright. Okay, that just threw me off so much I had to fucking share that. Randy, what the fuck? Randy Randall? What the hell?
Randy Randall.
That's some fucking, like, 50s Silver Age comic book shit right there. Okay.
Okay. You see the new Ring of Honor title?
Yeah, it's, well, I saw a brief bit of it, but they didn't know how to put lighting on Cody, so it didn't really work.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw an actual picture of it. It actually looks pretty good.
See, I thought it looked pretty good from the little I saw, but he was doing an interview and he put it up. But, you know how Ring of Honor is with production value sometimes. I was looking at it like, come on, lighting guy, can't you just move the lighting down so I could get a better picture so I can see the gold glitter?
Right.
Ring of Honor needs to work on their fucking production value.
What they need to work on is a fucking consistent belt design.
Yeah, that
okay,
too.
They've been around for what, like 17 years, right? And they've had at least, I want to say four different designs. Five or five, I don't know. Shit. Yeah, four or five. That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But yeah, but that's the nature of fucking wrestling. You look at every company has multiple fucking design changes and shit, I guess. CCW hasn't changed, though. Yeah, they haven't. They've never changed.
CCW. That Wired title still looks like crap to me.
Yeah.
But that's the charm of it.
The heavyweight title's still fantastic to me, though. Love that title. Love that title. Anyway, in other news, acquisition news, allegedly, Bobby Lashley, EC3, or both may be back in the WWE next year. So you think
EC3
about that.
And Lashley look like fucking stars. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
They have very good look. I mean, and EC3, what gets me is WWE got rid of him, and then he just got that, you know, new hairstyle, put a little bit more muscle. He looks much more like a presentable champion than 80% of WWE's roster.
Right.
I didn't understand why they got rid of him in the first place.
I don't know.
Because WWE's run by fucking idiots.
And I think half of the time they release people, they're like, yeah, we don't know what to do with you. You gotta go. That's basically what it is. They don't even give them a real shot. And they're just like, yeah, we're not going to put any type of real effort into you. That's why people try to take it upon themselves to pitch ideas to hopefully stay, you know?
Yeah. And then, they either run into riots who have absolutely no interest, or then there's Vince like, no, thank you. And then that's that.
Yeah.
By the way, what do you think about Cody Rhodes bleaching his hair? He looks like a fucking supervillain. Even more of a supervillain, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he looked like a bad guy. Now he looks like he's the bad guy's boss.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know how to... Like, he looks like fucking... what was his name? Fucking Geese Howard in, like...
Yeah!
Yeah, he looks like Geese Howard. That's what he fucking looks like, dude. Yeah, I just looked it up. Go Google Geese Howard and the third
if you don't
fucking
know
pick.
Howard is, Google that shit.
Look at the third fucking pick of Geese Howard. when you search him.
I'm actually gonna look up that picture, the first fucking picture. Let's see.
It looks just like him, just like a beer version of Cody Rhodes. Jesus.
Especially when he's fucking smiling.
Yeah. He has this, like, one smirk and shit.
I'm gonna Google search both their names together and see what happens. See if someone else has made, Okay, so it's people have said it, too.
People said it? Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah, apparently Geese Howard was, trending on Twitter sometime.
Really?
I wonder if, people might have mentioned it, because I did see some names come up. It might have been something, though.
No, because honest to God, I did not see anybody else, like, compare it. That's the first thing that came to mind when I looked at him.
Right. Oh, maybe it's just getting its wires crossed, but yeah, he does look a lot like fucking Geese Howard.
That is funny. Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, no, someone did apparently tweet something like, the heck did Cody Rhodes become Geese Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so it's official. We're going to make it official. Cody Rhodes is Geese Howard now.
Geese Howard now, yeah. Definitely villain. Definitely the bad guy. And in other news, speaking of bad guys, apparently Enzo Amore's Delaware driver's license signature, the state officials want him to fucking remove it and change it to a different one, and he refuses. And guess what his signature is? Have you seen the signature?
I've heard of the signature. I didn't actually bother to look at it. It's supposed to, like, be what, shaped like a penis?
Yeah, kinda. It's basically a dick. Yeah. It's a fucking dick, man.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Is that on purpose? Or is this like some penis joke he's just had for years and he just hasn't grown out of it?
I don't know, man. Like, but it's a fucking dick. Some people said that, oh, no, it's just E and A. Like, no, shut up. Because, like, somebody tried to say, like, the balls look or is supposed to be the E, and the A is, like, the shaft and the tip. Like, a long, with the A with a long ends. It's fucking dumb. It's so stupid. I don't know. God. But, yeah, but he's not budging, man. He does not want to change this for anything.
I don't think he necessarily has to. I don't think there's any legal reason why he would have to be able to change his signature.
Yeah. 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 That is true. That is fucking true. Yeah.
We didn't want you to change your signature because we don't like it. Ah, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
When I say that as someone who's not all that interested in watching Enzo Amore ever again.
Yeah. Okay, and what other news happened? Will Ospreay is in the news, in the Twitter sphere news yet again. He has been saying some dumb shit as usual. This time, he did some nasty elbow to the back of the head during Final Battle, and of course he wanted to make a comment on it before anybody could even jump on it, basically saying that just putting this out here before somebody copies me again or some dumb shit like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he fucking said.
When I saw that fucking move, all I could think about is when Oleg the Usurper took off Dragon's head.
Oh, shit, I remember that. That was from, like, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago?
Exactly. The only difference between the moves is that Ospreay used his elbow and Oleg used the inside forearm at a different angle, you know? Yeah. That's it. He did a variation on a move that other people have done.
Yeah,
he
walked up a lot
in the side of the head with his elbow. Okay, Oleg has hit people with his forearm from essentially the same position. Hiro and Misawa have hit people with forearms and elbows to the back of the head or the side of the head from the same position, too.
And I'm Josie wrestlers probably have done it.
Sure they do. They love hitting bitches in the back of the head. Old Joshi wrestlers will hit you wherever they can. It's sort of like, what was it, that move that Nick Jackson does, like the spinning, the way that he came in with the side, with the corner of his elbow. I mean, so what? People, it's just a variation on a fucking strike. You didn't really do anything. You just did a different presentation.
It's always like when
Bull Nakano did the fucking DDT off the ropes, and no one did it for years. But then Randy Orton added some theatrics to it, like almost 2 decades later, and suddenly everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes all it takes is a little theatrics, a little different positioning, and that's it. You did Oleg the Usurper's finisher with your fucking elbow. You did Misawa's move slightly different. Instead of coming from the side, you came from behind and hit it with a slightly different. It's not something to be proud of. You know, if you did like a 900 splash, it's like, okay, you just did another rotation. You kind of added a little something. You didn't invent a wholly new move.
Yeah.
You did something slightly fucking different. And let's talk about Will Ospreay. How many of the fucking moves does he do he didn't invent? He didn't invent the imploding 450. He did not invent the standing Spanish fly. He's not the first guy to do the standing cacoon twist. He's not the first guy to do a slingshot fucking ace crusher. That little twig kick, maybe you did that, but you added a twist to a kick to the back of the head. Another move that people have done. Most of what he's done is added a presentation to something that's already existed. Slight variation. He's not like fucking Scott Steiner turning a fucking suplex into a pile driver.
Right.
It's not freaking Kyoko Inoue essentially inventing the burning hammer and then Kenta Kobashi making it more popular. It's not any of the fucking moves that Manami Toyota invented, for God's sakes. That niggas still don't want to do Manami Toyota's actual 90s moveset because they're scared they're going to kill people. Call me when you get that. Have you ever seen her overarm full Nelson powerbomb Manami Toyota ever did?
Oh, no.
She would set it up like a powerbomb, tucked her head between her legs. But instead of, doing the double underhook, she would hook kind of weird over the arm like she's trying to do an ugly full Nelson.
Yeah.
Kick their ass up onto her shoulder and then drop them on the top of their head. I think she's only done the move once.
Oh, shit.
Call me when you get that move. Something like that, where even the guy who created it said, this might not be really smart.
Shit. Fuck that.
I've only seen her do that move once, and I said, I hope to God she never did that again, because I could kill somebody.
Yeah, it is a problem. Like, I want to say it's like an indie wrestler problem, but it's always specifically Will Ospreay.
Ricochet giving him the while that's happening. Like, come on, Ricochet.
Besides that, Ricochet is like probably the second biggest complainer.
Yeah, like, what move did Ricochet invent? I mean, I guess maybe he might have invented the double rotation moonsault. Maybe. I don't know. I know he didn't. The 960 senton, or the 630 senton. He didn't do that.
Did Pac invent double moonsault?
He might have.
I think a lot of shit that Ricochet's done, Pac has, Adrian Neville's done before him.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Ricochet's the first name that comes up when I do this, but Pac was doing it too. I wonder what the oldest fucking video of is. I guess it would either have to be Ricochet or Pac. They're both, from the sounds of it, the oldest, too. And at the same time, I would just put their names on there because I'm not sure if they were watching each other at the time, because obviously there wasn't as much exposure even with the internet, especially with British wrestling. Because let's be honest, when Pac came over, how many other British wrestlers did we know at that time?
Yeah. Like one or two.
Yeah, exactly. And pretty much, that was pretty much like Pac and fucking Doug Williams for the longest time.
Yeah, it was Pac, Doug Williams, and like Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can do that, but most of his moveset that he does is just other people's moves or a slight variation. I mean, like, the Benadryl is a neat move, but essentially he's just doing a different kind of thing than, like, you know, doing the fireman's carry into the kick. I mean, it's neat, but so is Mara Fuji doing a suplex feint into a super kick.
Yeah.
I mean, putting a move together to a feint as a feint and then hitting with a strike, yeah, it's neat. It's not really all that. It's impressive, but it's not like a serious move invention. And his main finisher now is something I think he stole from a Dragon's Gate wrestler, which is that modified sit-out reverse implant DDT thing he does. The vertigo. I don't know. Yeah, like, all I see are really variations on other moves, and some of them are pretty impressive, but they complain, like, essentially you had to adapt someone else's move and add to it. Or right. You adapt someone's been added theatrics. You didn't do too much of a serious invention to it. So calm the fuck down. Yeah. And you're using other people's moves, too.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Ricochet, only mere days after Will Ospreay starts making comments about people supposedly stealing his move in the future, after Jason Jordan does his double Northern Lights, which he's been doing for a few months now, he, like, Ricochet retweeted it and had the eye emoji or whatever. Like,
yo, fuck that!
Like,
fucking Chris Law did the rolling North. I backyard wrestled in fucking the Young Bucks backyard against a guy who did three of those.
Yeah, I mean, people do over, all but he fucking types did of variations the rolling of like, rolling suplexes.
Yes,
all the time, and then like Ricochet wants to like die by that sword. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, the fuck? I am pretty fucking certain that the first person I ever saw do that was fucking Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
And people have been doing the fucking roll through for a while. I mean, yeah, I like when Ricochet does it into the freaking brainbuster, but we've seen people do it and go into a fucking armbar. Freaking, like, I'm pretty sure Kyle O'Reilly's done it into a fucking armbar. You got high flyers do it, and then all go into a fucking double stomp. So what if he did it? And also notice that he does the leg lift a bit for the pin, too. Kind of like something that Scott Steiner did that as well. This is a guy who clearly... Jason Jordan's a guy who clearly watches wrestling, and he's not really stealing anything.
Yeah.
And even if he was, so the fuck what?
Fuck what?
I mean, let's be honest. If he could probably out-wrestle legitimately Ricochet, because Jason Jordan is, what, a collegiate wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I had to put those two guys into a fight, I would assume Jason Jordan would beat up Ricochet.
Oh, definitely.
Fuck down. He's younger, he's bigger, generally, and he's not, I mean, and everything he's done has been done by other guys. Even his finisher is just a variation of, you know, other people's finishers. But, you know, it's a nice move. And everything he does looks good. I mean, to be honest with you, if I was a wrestler and someone stole my move, I would only have two complaints. One, I would just like to let people to know that I invented it. That would be it. I don't care if you steal it, but, you know, someone put me down on Wikipedia as invented the move. And also, don't do a shitty version. That's it. Like... You know, like, John Cena does a shitty version of the STF. That would... if I was Masahiro Chou, that would be the only thing that really pissed me off.
Right.
I don't know what is wrong with these freaking indie wrestlers. I mean, calm down. It's not that big a deal. What are you mad that you're going to get to WWE one day and someone's going to be doing that move? Like, just deal with it. People have been
like, I can't do my shit anymore. I can't get my shit in. I just want to get my shit in.
Yeah, they want to freaking Brian Cage, Mr. Get My Shit In.
Oh, man. Fucking hell. Yo, these dudes are funny.
Yeah. Pisses me off, mainly because I like them, but they just sound like shitheads sometimes.
Yeah. He like, better not be, like, he better not be acting all, well, in WWE when he gets there, Ricochet.
You're going to be telling people, yeah, you stole my move. He's going to say that shit to Jay Jordan when he's there.
Oh, Jesus.
He's going to get screwed up and get put on fucking 205 Live with that attitude. Yeah. and like I said, I think they know they have something good in Jason Jordan. It's just weird the storyline they gave him, but yeah. At least he's getting really featured. And even though, and I think he's coming off as a pretty interesting heel the way they're booking him.
Right.
Like they've accidentally made him one of their top heels.
Right. Yeah. See, I think, no, I don't think it's by accident. I think they, like
they're intending it?
Initially, they did not intend the reaction to him, but they adapted the character based on the reaction. You know?
Which is smart.
Because he wasn't as... Because, like, when he first came about, yeah, he was, like, Kurt Angle's son. He was happy to be there, blah, blah, blah. He was proving himself. But then, as time went by and people were booing him, then that's when they started changing it, and then you had him whining about not being able to make the Survivor Series team. Just whining about trying to get different opportunities and all this shit like that. And yeah, it's been working pretty well.
And him and, I guess, Roman Reigns are like the two guys who whenever I see GIFs, I'm like, shit, I actually kind of want to watch that match. Because the GIFs of him and Jordan and Roman Reigns looked great.
Yeah.
And the GIFs of him versus Seth Rollins looked great,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the GIFs of Roman versus Cesaro looked really good as well from last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jordan's the one of the few guys where I'm on Twitter and I see something, I'm like, shit, do I want to try to watch Raw to catch this match? This looks good.
Oh, man.
And I don't get that a lot. But, like, what was it? He caught Seth Rollins and threw him into the guardrail on a suicide dive? Shit was beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, you got any other news before I go off even further?
I got plenty of news. What other news? Triple H says there's no talk of Ronda Rousey actually being joining the WWE. Shocker. Yeah.
Or a lie.
Or a lie, whatever. You're probably, because they're trying to mask it, whatever. But it's not hard to tell that there's something going on. I think there was like some video that Ronda posted and she was like working with Natty. So there's that. WWE is apparently now broadcasting live in South Korea, where my sister is right now. And what else? So since they struck a deal with them, they also struck a deal with Mongolia as well. And included in all of this, Vince McMahon also launches Alpha Entertainment, which is something completely separate from WWE. And now people are speculating that it's apparently supposed to be some type of XFL relaunch. Except it's not going to be called the XFL. It'll most likely be called the UFL or the URFL.
URFL.
Yeah, because apparently they've tried to, I think they've been to the patent office or trademark office or whatever, and been trying to trademark UFL and all these other special terms or whatever, your NFL and I mean not your NFL, your football and other phrases or whatever, and a lot of it, like a lot of their what they're trying to trademark, brings people to speculate that basically the reason for them trying to develop a football league now is based on the NFL protests that have been going on this year. So, and most likely their target audience are not black folks that were upset about racism and police brutality. Their target audience is most likely going to be white guys who are sick of people disrespecting the flag and being unpatriotic and respect America.
Even though my understanding is most of the games, regardless, have been kind of crap this year.
Yeah. Oh, the games. Okay, the games have been like what I have. Like, I haven't seen shit because I'm boycotting the fuck out of it. Fuck that. I'm not gonna lie. I'm doing it for Cat. But what I have been seeing, like, on social media through, through scores and news and random, like, gifts and shit that pops up is that there's a lot of blowouts that have been going on. Just generally bad games. Like, a lot of shootouts also because defenses have been fucking terrible. And besides that, a lot of fucking injuries.
Yeah,
like, and this is the year. Apparently, this is like too. The year of injuries. Like, every team has had a major fucking injury. Like, it's fucking crazy. It is insane. Like, people have gone down every week, every single week. Where it's like nasty concussion shit, partial paralysis, fucking broken fingers, broken ankles, torn knees, everything. And, like, broken ribs, like, collarbones, shoulders, everything. But, yeah, basically the NFL is in some sort of free fall right now. It's like, and the ratings haven't been that great either, of course.
And you have people who are protesting for more than just cap and the racial injustice, but you have the people who are learning about all the damage the CTE thing is doing, and they want, you know, better for these athletes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like the NFL really wants to accept
Jesus.
This.
Oh, speaking of that, Chris Nowinski, I remember Chris Nowinski tweeted about, just to tie this all back into wrestling, of course, Chris Nowinski, first Harvard graduate to be a WWE superstar, He tweeted out, like, there was an incident, I forgot, I think it was a Chiefs player that fucking got hit, started fucking convulsing like he was having a fucking seizure, recovered, was sent to the sideline, only 5 minutes later was back in the fucking game. They put that motherfucker back in the game after that man had a fucking seizure.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
Yeah, that is not.
I mean, the NFL, smart at all.
No, it's not. The NFL is just damaging itself. And I forget when I read it, but there was a great article about how NBA has done a much better job of the last few years of, you know, raising, you know, their stock in part because of the way, I guess, in the way they do treat their athletes better and, you know, just
oh, yeah.
In general,
and
how NFL has kind of been falling off, but the NBA continues to do either hold steady or grow.
Yeah, they have been. And the players had the freedom to speak their, kind of speak them. Like, yeah, they have, like, I think they actually have rules in the NBA for doing certain things, but they find clever ways to actually, like, raise the issue and stuff, and without having to be restricted like the NFL.
Yeah, there's more freedom among that. I mean, if NFL keeps fucking up the way they are, they're just going to fall end up almost in the same way baseball has, which is kind of lost a lot of its luster as America's favorite pastime, even though only time America seems to care is when the World Series happens.
Right.
It's not the World Series. No one really cares about baseball, yeah, unless you're Joey Ryan. He actually cares.
Yeah. Was he a Dodgers fan or an Angels fan? I don't fucking
know. I believe he's an Angels fan.
Ew, that's even worse.
Well, I actually learned to hate the Dodgers recently. Because that American History podcast, the guy clearly likes baseball, so he does baseball stories. But he did one on one of the first gay players. He was a black man.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lasorda was a fuck asshole to him. Wow. This guy was loved by his peers. He was loved by everybody in the Dodgers. But Lasorda and other people higher up basically had him pretty much, you know, sent away.
Wow.
And Tommy Lasorda was super homophobic because apparently he refused to accept his gay son, even though his was still in his life. He had a heart. He never really accepted his son's lifestyle.
Wow.
He hated that his son was also hanging out with this player too.
Huh.
So I guess it's not that I hate the Dodgers. I hate fucking Tommy Lasorda.
Oh wow.
The rest of the Dodgers seem pretty cool about him, and it also sounds like a lot of players. They really don't care if their teammates are gay as long as you know they're winning or having fun. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's like we don't care. We like the dude. But yeah, that kind of pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that. Speaking of more pissed off stuff, sources say that Swan and Soo Young have reconciled. So I guess they're okay now, but of course we're gonna have to see what the fuck is like going on with this case and shit like that. Like,
yeah, it's bad, but based on what I read, you know, it could have been so much more worse, you know? And I hate to say that. Like, what went down, I can see why they wouldn't have fired him immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is still absolutely troubling, but hopefully they can get the Swan can get some counseling. They can deal some issues. Maybe Swan takes, like, some serious time off and then maybe get his life back together and maybe even succeed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, shit. Oh, and then one thing I forgot when that went down, I forgot there was another incident like involving a wrestling couple that happened like some years ago, but like I don't think people kind of like brushed that one off quick. There was an incident with fucking Matt Hardy and Red Guy. Where I believe it was a hotel incident. They both like fought each other or whatever. Matt Hardy's face got fucked up and they both got arrested, that motherfucker.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a selective memory thing because people tend to forget about Steve Austin's domestic issues as well.
Oh, with like Deborah and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, domestic violence. Domestic violence. Anyway, other news. Once again, we're talking about Ferdinand. So, John Cena's movie Ferdinand debuted last weekend to poor reviews. Some people praised his voice performance, but other than that, they didn't have too much good to say. Critics felt that it was generic, the jokes were tired and irrelevant, and it felt the story was somewhat inconsistent. But it ended
that's a lot of these animated movies seem to pop up like that anyway.
A lot of non-Pixar Disney movies.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Pixar, then a lot of things just feel like it's either ripped kind of in the style of the DreamWorks stuff, the Ice Age stuff.
Right.
It's not the best. But, you know, they're kids' movies, so you're not really I don't think you should always expect that much.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is one kids movie that I like that came out a few years ago that I liked was Storks with Andy Samberg.
Oh really?
And Kelsey Grammer.
Oh man. But yeah, Ferdinand apparently made a little over $13 million in box office, which isn't too bad, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the Christmas time, this is one of the harshest times to put out films. Yeah.
Especially with Star Wars around.
Yeah, you got Star Wars, you got the one or two big tentpole movies, and you got I guess call them Oscar bait movies, even though some of them probably aren't. And some of them are actually probably really good. But you also have to deal with the fact that you're going to be fighting weather seriously as well. Yeah. And that is no fucking joke. Okay, I'm pulling up Ferdinand. Oh, well, that's not actually that good then. If that's the actual production cost for this movie, that's not good.
Oh, how much was the production cost?
Saying here it was $111 million.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be bombing.
Yeah, that's not good. If you're not like a Pix... Who is this company who did this movie?
I think it was Sony, wasn't it?
It's Fox, okay.
It's Fox?
Yeah, and that $111 for a Fox animated movie is also fucking surprising. Fox usually cuts the budget for films before they bother to put them out.
Why is it so high?
Yeah, that's not like Fox. Of course, that's not going to be like Fox now until we know what the fuck's going on with the Disney deal. I hope they let Fox work as an independent fucking studio. You know what I mean?
I think that's what they're going to do for the most part. The only thing they're going to try to bring into fold is the Marvel stuff.
I think we'll probably see Fantastic Four a lot sooner because I think it would be idiotic on them to kind of just suddenly cancel like Deadpool, which sounds like the president of Disney doesn't care if they keep doing Deadpool movies or not. I think, and if New Mutants ends up being a fucking success next year, it would be idiotic to cancel that as well. You probably around some things, but like about the Ferdinand thing, like I just looked up the Lego Batman movie as comparison. That movie was $80 million production budget, so. Yeah, I mean, if you're not DreamWorks or Pixar, Disney, you should not be spending over $100 million and up on an animated film.
I think part of it was the fucking names. They had too many names in Ferdinand for no reason. Look at the cast for that fucking movie.
I mean, and if you look at Lego Batman, they have kind of like they put a bunch of comedians just to do random cameos. You know, they probably didn't pay those guys all that much. They were just happy to do that shit.
Yeah, but
I think Mariah Carey was probably the most famous person on the voice acting of that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, this is Kate McKinnon, David Tennant, Bobby Cannavale, Gina Rodriguez, Jeremy Sisto, Anthony Anderson, Gabriel Iglesias. Or I don't know who these other guys are, but that is a pretty impressive voice acting.
Right. List.
Bad date, too much money, and honestly, I don't think they gave it that much marketing.
Yeah.
So, not a good sign.
Not a good look.
And that's not to say anything about the quality of the movie. It could be really good, but, you know, you want films to succeed, and sometimes studios are really bad about handling shit, and this sounds really badly handled.
Which, like, with the middling reviews, I'm surprised it got nominated for a Golden Globe. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How the fuck?
Well, those guys were drunk and put Get Out as a comedy, so you can never guess with them.
Yeah, that's a joke. That's a fucking joke. Yeah, whatever.
I didn't realize Daddy's Home 2 made that much fucking money.
Huh.
Oh, well, actually, yeah.
Speaking of other entertainment, apparently there's news that AJ Lee's new book could actually be turned into a TV series.
Congratulations to her. Someone's got to bring in the paychecks.
Yeah, that's right, because CM Punk's, like, falling off.
CM Punk is in a crossroads where you know that he deep down he realizes he probably needs to go back to wrestling.
Yeah. He was writing for Marvel for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they canceled the book, like, the Marvel canceled, like, 10 books yesterday.
Yeah, because he was writing for Thor at some point. That's what he did. That's what he was writing for. Oh, speaking of Marvel, you heard about you just hear about the news for the Thanos creator?
Jim Starlin. I don't know if he knew, but I know he was saying something else.
Yeah, he's fucking gone.
From Marvel?
Yeah.
Well, it surprised me. Marvel...
Because he got into it with one of the editors. What was his name? I think it was Tom LaFord or something. For I forget what the fucking guy's name was. Tom Brevoort or whatever.
Tom Brevoort.
Brevoort.
Yeah, he's a long-term guy. He's been there forever.
Yeah, apparently he got into it with him, and then he was like, all right, fuck it. I'm out. So, basically, Marvel's in a free fall when it comes to their long-time writing staff.
Well, I mean, yeah, they lost a lot of the guys. They lost Bendis, who's really been there the longest. The new editor-in-chief was exposed to have been pretending to be a Japanese man.
Yep.
You have, I mean, basically, Marvel's really only beating DC Comics because they put out more books and they charge more. Because DC actually... I believe sold more books last month, but because Marvel on general charges $3.99 per book and have more books out, they made more money.
Oh,
because DC I would say half, maybe a little less than half of DC's books are a dollar less, especially the bi-weekly books. They have bi-weekly books and they still put out freaking Marvel.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's. It's a interesting situation. DC is having a bit of a renaissance with their comic book stuff right now, and they're trying really hard to, compete with Marvel. They're trying really hard to essentially make things better after their last couple really bad reboots, whereas Marvel's been just constant with their relaunches, their events, and they've kind of stuffed their audience, I mean their creators, so much that the creators didn't even want to go to DC. A lot of them just went and did indie books. Because you have Matt Fraction, Kieran Gillen, what the fuck that one dude who writes East of West. All those guys were Marvel's top writers. They're all just doing indie books now because they just don't care.
Yeah.
And then you had Marvel kind of convinced Tom King to come back to them. And he wrote that Vision series for Marvel that, you know, they got good reviews, and DC was like, well, you come back, we'll let you write Batman, whatever you want. It's like, can I write Mr. Miracle? Go ahead. And he was like, I'm back, baby. And he wrote that awesome-ass Batman Elmer Fudd crossover. That shit is tight. Have you seen that?
No.
Marvel DC did a bunch of the Super Meets Looney Tunes characters, but the Elmer Fudd Batman one, fucking brilliant. The writer back, because each story had a main story and a backup story. The backup story is more Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Tom King, the writer of their biggest book, Batman, he wrote that story. It had the artist on the main story, Lee Weeks, drew it like Batman Year One. That shit was played straight all the way through. It's fucking genius. It's probably expensive to buy now, too. It's probably like $30 for the one issue.
Huh.
But it is fucking gold.
Wow.
So DC's having a bit of wrestling. And so are they, like, the indie companies are doing well. Marvel's still the top company, but they're kind of like WWE in the sense that they're the top company, but the quality's not really there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got the movies, and that's, I guess, at this point, really the only thing Disney cares about.
And I think the big problem with Marvel is that I think a lot of their comics are influenced by what the fuck they're doing in their movie division.
And they're not doing a fucking good job of translating that feeling.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I mean, the movies are still going. The TV shows are a little bit of a mixed thing, 'cause to be honest, Iron Fist was garbage.
Was garbage. Defenders was okay.
Underwhelmed. Yeah, The S.H.I.E.L.D. is sort of back and forth. Last season was good. I'm not sure how I feel about this season so far.
Yeah, so far, I don't know about this whole Inhumans, we're in the future.
That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is they showed up and they asked as few questions as possible and tried to steamroll through everybody. They could have, like, sat down with the dude and tried to get a pure-on explanation of how the system works.
Right.
But, you know, they're the right guy, they're good guys, so what they have to do is the right thing to do. They didn't bother to try to adapt a plan to their situation. They just came up with the plan, and everything will work for the plan regardless. And they've been losing at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, at least,
at least the gift is good.
At least Fitz is back.
Yes. The one guy's been more or less consistent. Him and Simmons have been the most consistent characters through that entire series.
Right.
They're also the only two characters I like, other than, what was it, the guy who they, the two that got leave a couple seasons ago, because they were going to give them their own show, and that didn't work out.
Yo, that was fucked up, dude. Yo, I'm pissed off about that. They really
I think he might
dirty.
Be coming back, but she's on the Orville, and she's making money, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she ain't
good on her
anytime soon.
Yeah, just like, well, I could go back, or I could stay on Fox on the Orville. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. is never going to get canceled, so they're not, because Disney doesn't want it to be canceled, but ABC doesn't really care much for it, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh, and Runaways, why the fuck haven't they ran away yet?
How many episodes has that been so far?
I think it's on episode 7. I think I need to download this week's episode. I forgot all about it.
Oh.
It's one of those things where it should be better than it is, but in the first fucking comic book arc, ran away from home. I'm 6-7 issue episodes in, and I'm like, why are they still there? And once again, I'm getting so fucking pissed off at Marvel's reluctance to accept magic.
Oh, you know what Runaways reminds me of? Them staying in the town for so long. You know what it reminds me of? Fucking Preacher. They pulled the same shit in Preacher.
Both times.
Like, they were only in that town for, like, one issue. The parishioners get fucking murked by the by Genesis, and they're gone by the end of the night. But they stay there for, like, God knows how long, for the whole season. And then season two, they're...
They get it right for three episodes, they stick them in New Orleans for the rest of the season.
For the rest of the fucking... Yeah, and then... I don't know, like... That
pisses
show had,
me off.
Like, promise, but then now I don't know where it's gonna go.
You should check out Happy, which is based on the Grant
Thornton. Yeah, I just saw the first few episodes of it.
Yeah, that shit's as crazy as the comic, maybe even crazier.
Yeah, it's,
they went full blown like, fuck it, we're doing this shit.
Yo, he out here murdering all these people.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised this is Grant Morrison's first original project getting adapted, but I guess because a lot of his stuff is just way too crazy. But hey, at least he got one on there,
and it's something that got adapted on fucking Sci-Fi of all places.
Yeah,
but then I realized that Sci-Fi has been trying to revamp their image for like a good part of the decade.
Since they put ECW on and changed their name to
Sci-Fi, yeah. Yeah, because, like, they changed it to Sci-Fi and made it less about science fiction, hard science fiction and horror, and more about, like, nerd culture type shit.
Yeah.
So now, besides, like, horror and sci-fi shit, you also got, like, magic shit, comic book shit, a little bit of grindhouse shit.
Yeah, this is actually their second comic book show because they have Wynonna Earp.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Which is a good show if you can get past the first few episodes.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, and I heard The Magicians is good, but I haven't bothered to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Sci-Fi had ECW and bam, back on wrestling.
All right, so yeah, I'm gonna keep going on. And you know that legendary pick of champions that had Beth Phoenix, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Zack Ryder, Cody Rhodes, Evan Bourne, and Kofi Kingston? Well, apparently Tuesday was the 6-year anniversary of that pick coming out, and according to Cody, it almost didn't happen. He said that CM Punk told everybody it was supposed to be just for us, but 2 seconds later, Zach posted it online. But that apparently that was a fucking lie. Cody said that said Zach did it, but recanted his statement once Zach reminded him that CM Punk himself posted it, and he and according to Cody, Zack told him to fuck off. So it looks like Zack Ryder's pissed off that Cody would tell us such a fucking lie like that.
All right, we got actual incoming wrestling news right now. I'm pulling it up, but it sounds like our, you know, the team start of wrestlers being outed as assholes. We have Orlando Jordan.
Oh no. What did he do now?
Jordan's accused of inviting underage backyard wrestlers to the zoo, dinner, and the movies. A source said that he has screenshots to prove that Jordan has gone after underage boys. Allegations are not new at all.
Hold on, what? They said the allegations aren't new?
Yes, apparently the story of his 2006 firing from WWE was that he was allegedly one that was underage with him to live events. In 2010, Ric Flair confronted Jordan's boyfriend at a bar in front of several wrestlers. Flair spoke up and said that this companion had no reason to be in the locker room area. The story that was reported back then was that Flair did not have an issue with the sexual orientation of Jordan's boyfriend. He was upset because the white major executive was at the bar when Jordan's boyfriend decided to do something very lewd. So, okay, so slightly different, but he's generally been an ass, you know, a predatory behavior throughout his possible career. All right.
Man, what the fuck? Niggas is wildin'.
Yeah.
Yo, what the fuck, dude? I didn't know he was that fucking freaky, man.
This is a tweet. I'll never forget when Orlando Jordan debuted on TNA. Immediately knew that nigga needed to go to jail.
Who said that? Dude.
Huh?
Who said this shit?
Some guy 3 hours ago. I don't know if he had heard the news. The news just happened right after he tweeted that shit. Let's see. Yeah, this is essentially pretty breaking.
Wow. This shit is fucking crazy. That's disgusting, dude. That dude's a freak. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yep. Okay, so that's current breaking wrestling news. All right, so yeah, okay, that guy tweeted that after the news first dropped. All right, so he wasn't predicting the future.
Jesus, oh my God. God damn it. Oh, shit. And I'm looking at JTG's Twitter, and apparently he's into cryptocurrency also. There's a currency called fucking Verge currency. Jesus, man. So you got fucking Verge, Bitcoin, all these other types of, like, fucking crypto shits. Like, people are gonna be bankrupt in this motherfucker. That shit, that bubble's gonna burst quick. And people about to lose everything.
Yeah, that cryptocurrency.
I'm not trying to fuck with that. Like, people trying to get rich quick off of that shit, but I don't know, man. Jesus. Shit's crazy. Anyway, and what other news? Speaking of social media, there is a site called Faceless Source. It's supposedly...
I saw that shit today. Yeah, that fucking pissed me off.
New wrestling source, news source that dabbles in adult content. And when I mean dabble in adult content, I mean basically they're taking stolen nudes and selling them off and posting them and all bunch of shit. Part of the outrage besides the fucking nudes is the fact that Patreon has taken it upon themselves to, like, allow them to, like, have access to their site and actually try to earn some actual money from patrons on
the fucking
site. Yeah,
they're gonna all they did is just make sure Patreon's gonna get their ass sued.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, yeah, Faceless Source is gonna get sued, Patreon's gonna get sued just by association. It's just not gonna look good at all. Like, who fucking thought that was a good idea? You gotta be a grade A fucking creep to do shit, you know?
Yeah.
Shit's fucking
Patreon's already coming off a negative backlash for trying to change their rules on creators the day before changing their rules.
Yeah.
So, you know, Patreon's fucking up. Sounds like somebody got a new president and he's just fucking the company up.
Isn't that the story of a lot of these dudes?
That's the story of America, from what I can gather.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to the history of Uber the other day. Fuck that guy. You know they've never actually made a profit?
Really? Uber?
Really. They posted a total of $2.8 billion of loss.
Wow.
They only exist because of speculators and billionaires thinking that one day they'll make money off of it.
So the only people making decent money are the actual, like, drivers.
Yeah, the people... No, they're not even making money, because they used to, but I think over the last couple years, their stuff got cut by, like, 40%, so they actually make less than minimum wage now.
Oh, shit, that's not even worth it.
Yeah, and apparently they can barely keep drivers now, too, because they added, like, video game-type achievements to convince them to keep working and bullshit.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, apparently, like, last year, they lost close to $1 billion just last year. So, yeah. Basically, America exists on the idea that these companies are good for us, but realistically, they're trying to screw us over and kill us all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. A lot to think about, I guess. All right. I'm done.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for us.
Oh, good, because I need to use the restroom.
Yeah, that's all we got. So, of course, you can check us out on rantyradio.com. They also have a Twitter called Ranty Radio. And, of course, you can check us out on there Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen to us, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Weekend of the Geeks, and other shows. Most of the past episodes on the archives. And for me... Doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube as our channel, secondary channel Doomsday Gorilla as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat.
All right, I am on the Twitter. Sam Towns. I am also on the Instagram, westside.goth. And have yourself a good Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And hope that 2018 will see the end of corruption in America. In certain places, I guess. Yep. Then that's all I have. Have a happy 2018.
Yeah. And so we're going to end this off on a high note. So hey, smoke weed every day.